Good morning.
It's a great morning for all of us. Today in our session, we have Brother Nail from Australia. Baba's very unique and special child. And he is in Gyan from last 36 years. And on behalf of Brother Nail. So, first of all, what's your experience of Baba's this meeting on 20th?
Shanti, good morning. Before I answer a question, I'd like to formally apply for this society of happiness that I've just experienced here. Obviously, every morning you get together and it's a very nice gathering. On this particular meeting with Bap Dada, I experienced, I suppose, the ongoing sweetness of Baba. The sense that Baba is trying to help us identify the uniqueness of our own individual light, and how sweet it is to recognize the uniqueness of your original and your eternal form. And I've been coming here for quite a long time, and each year that I come, it's a unique experience. And every time I hear Bap Dada live in the presence of the room, then it's in the context of thousands of others as well. Whereas in Australia, I'm watching a little screen, whether it's with others or on my own on a computer. So it's a different experience. You know, it's a shared experience rather than just a personal experience. And that's what makes it unique, you know. But definitely the sweetness, you know. Very much sweetness.
So as Baba has mentioned in the movie about to become an angel, so how to become an angel, what you do, what efforts you do?
What efforts do I do? It's a great question, really. I was born to the Christian tradition. And in the Christian tradition, you're made aware of angels at a very, very, very young age. So the work of angels was not new to me in that sense. But the thought as a child that I would think myself an angel was something I never ever considered. But really what I see, the angel really for me is a spiritual social worker, really, that cares for, has a unique mercy, and a sense of an open heart for everyone that it meets. My spirituality, my understanding is very grounded in the people that I meet. I don't feel that I'm better or above or unique. And I find that the role for me of an angel, I see very much as one that touches the hearts of those that I meet on my day-to-day life. Because I'm out in the world a lot. I travel an awful lot for my work. And people see, you know, before I say anything, I have to represent it as an example. Otherwise, it just won't work. And people watch you. People study you. And more than that, they feel you. They feel your energy. They feel your presence. I'm an organizational consultant. So I train people in various places.
What do you think about the changing part of Avyakt Bap Dada?
Another good question. Well, you know, it's maybe I've been with Baba long enough to not be surprised by anything, really. And I have my own personal feelings, and even though Baba has hinted that things will change. You know, every now and again, maybe every 3, 4, or 5 years, at the end of a Murli, Baba says something like, there will be a change. You know, and whatever it may be. And so I've watched, I suppose, since when I first met Baba was in the meditation hall, and then Om Shanti Bhavan was built, and then, you know, gradually going down to Shanti Bhavan, you see the role changing, you know, and for me, I see less and less and less physical time spent with Bap Dada, and more and more Aviak time, more and more my memories, my internal experience is larger than my face-to-face experience. And so I just adjust like everybody else. And yeah, that's all I can say really.
Yeah. How did you come in Gyan and how your journey started?
Yeah, my I was born in Ireland, which is next to England. And I was born into a Catholic family, very traditional Catholic family. And I was sent to a boarding school at 12. I went to a Jesuit boarding school. And I was there for a couple of years. And one day, the priest walked into the classroom and he said to the students in the class, he said, "Hands up those who are interested in meditation." So four of us put our hand up. And he had a small circle of meditation group. And he was the first person in my life. And then I was only 14 or 15. He was the first person in my life that spoke about silence. Now, as a young teenager, I thought silence was when you turned the radio down or you turned the record player down. This is what I thought silence was. But this was somebody who started to cultivate an awareness that silence was like something you experienced or you felt or nurtured you. And so I thought that was good. And then I started reading books on meditation. And when I left that school, I went to university, I did TM meditation, Transcendental Meditation. And then I left and I moved to Australia. And I was renting an apartment. And the person who owned the apartment was a merchant banker. And one day she was telling me that she was very stressed at work. It was a very demanding job. So I said to her, "Well, why don't you study meditation? Why don't you try meditation?" And she said, "Well, two people in my work teach it." And she said, "And they offer it free of charge." So I said to her, "If you go, I'll go with you." So I went along, not knowing anything, went into this door, and there was people with white kurta pajamas, and we went into a room, and the first two people I met were Joe and Michael Timmons. So, and they gave me the first lesson and the second lesson, and they would, one time Joe would come, next time Michael would come, and I couldn't understand, what's the difference, and then I figured out one wore a blue tie on his suit, and one wore a red. That's the only way I could, you know, because back then they looked very similar. I couldn't understand it. And then, before I finished the course, they came to India, and I had to find somebody else to finish the course. And so, Charlie finished off the course with me. 1981. And so, that's how I came, you know.
So what was your first experience of Madhuban?
My first experience of Madhuban was, I suppose the journey here. You know, I mean, you must understand for us who live far, far away, the first journey here is the journey in our imagination. Before we've ever been here, we have to imagine what it is that we're going on. So it's not only a pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage, but it's also, it's like you're excited to be going on this adventure. So it's all of these things in one. When I came here, my experience was, I suppose, 81, 82. And it was very, very easy for me personally. I just I took to everything very easily. I had traveled enough. There was no cultural differences. The food was easy. I was young enough to not feel the change of climate or anything like that, you know? It was great. And in those days, we all slept either on the floor, like when you were traveling, there was no beds, so you would come to Bombay first, to Mumbai, and you would be in the Murli room, and there'd be 20 of you just lying on the Murli room, you know? And as I said, we were young enough to, we didn't mind. And then everything was train journeys as well. So when you got here, it felt like you really journeyed to get here, up to the mountain, you know. So it was fantastic. It felt like home, yeah, it really did. And because of the intimacy of Pandavravan, the whole world was in Pandavravan, you know. And as you know yourself, those who've lived here, in those days when daddy or the daddies would be here, you'd be up on the roofs, you know, looking down and watching and seeing everything, you know, just like a large family does, you know. So it was nice.
So you want to share your any experience with Daddy Prakash Mahi, Daddy Janki?
Yeah, look, I have different experiences with both of them. In fact, before I ever came to India, I went to London to meet Daddy Janki, and Daddy Janki has had a long-term history with physical illness. And when I first went, she was very, very ill in London. And like all young people, well, at least for me, when you become BK, you think that, you know, you're very special. So I thought Daddy was going to tell me that I was the most special BK that she's ever met. That's what my imagination was actually telling me. So when I went to meet her for the first time, she told me the complete opposite, you know, because I was on my way to meet my Lockheed family for the first time. So I had lived in Australia, and then I was coming to Ireland to see my father and my mother and as a BK. And so when I said this to Daddy, I think she took the chestnut and put it on the fire, basically to make the outside strong and to keep the center soft. And so she roasted me, and then I went to Ireland, my family, and then when I came back, she said I was the best boy ever. You know what I mean? It's like, there's that type of experience for me. So it was the first time I ever met her. And for Daddy, you know, Daddy Prakash Mani was different. She was, you know, as her work, her name is Prakash, you know, she was light. She was love, really. She was the mother, really. And one time, I'll just tell you a very short story and then I won't take your time. One time I was coming and I came out of season and I came into Bombay and they gave me a large box of mangoes. And in those days, as you know, they were made of wood. You know, it was a wooden box of mangoes. And I was on my own, and I had to bring the mangoes from Bombay up to Ahmedabad on the train, change trains, and then onto the train to Abu Road. So I had my case and a box of mangoes, and I was determined I was going to do it, you know, and bring the mangoes out of season to Daddy. So I came to Abu Road, and in those days, the taxis were only the jeeps. So I get into the jeep with five or six or seven people, and they put the box of mangoes up on the top. And in those days, the bridge at Abu Road was very narrow. And so the taxi driver, and he's gone to the bridge, and around comes another car coming the other way. And they're both going at it. And the other one got in quicker. And this taxi driver, he hits the brake, and I watch my box of mangoes sailing in the air as I'm looking out the taxi. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I couldn't believe this. I had worked so hard to be careful and to mind this box of mangoes. And it hits the floor, and the mangoes go everywhere. I just can't believe it. So I got out of the taxi, and I put the mangoes back together, and I'm cleaning them, and I put them like that, and I'm pushing the broken wooden carton back together, and I'm, you know, the paper and the insulation, and then I'm pushing it all in, and so keeping it in there, and I arrive here, you know, like this. So I give the mangoes to Daddy. She didn't say a word. She must have seen, you know, the condition of it. And this was supposed to be for Bogue and everything like that. So next day, I'm walking across the courtyard and the Valvin. Daddy looks at me like this. She smiles and she says, "Mango boy, mango boy." That's all she said to me. Because when they opened the box, like, they were all bruised and, you know, whatever like that. Anyway, I tried my best, you know. But she was lovely. She was fantastic. And she traveled to Australia as well. So both of the daddies traveled, obviously, a lot in those days. So, you know, I spent a lot of personal time with them, particularly traveling, you know, because you would have those chances. But, very, 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 very special, unique spiritual mother.
So according to the time, what is your current effort? What are you doing?
Light. Focused on only those in front of me, wherever I am. Wherever I am in the world. Whoever is there. For it's 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. You only get one chance in life, I feel, with people. And so it's to try and represent the best of yourself, to reveal the changes that Baba's made in your life, and to amplify that in the sense of respect and love for those that come in front of me. That is my effort, you know, to be kind. Kindness is very, very important. And the other thing that I'm focused on at the moment is encouraging others. It costs you nothing to see the potential in others and to encourage that. It's an investment in their development and in hope in their own life. So they are the two things that I focus on, really. Kindness and encouragement.
How to stay, how to remain happy in Brahmin life?
You have to control your ambitions and your desires. You have to understand them. You have to understand yourself. Understand your nature. Because Baba is trying to use the best of your gifts and your attributes in order to serve others. But to be happy, I really think, don't look at other people. It's a cancer, really. It takes you away from your own world. And you can only change your own world, and your own world with Baba is what will nurture you. It's your garden. But if, you know, in towns and in cities, everybody, their house is divided. If you spend your life looking over the wall at your neighbor, the person next door, you just lose sight of what you have. You know? Be happy, be content with what you have, whatever it is. You know, and don't compare yourself to other people. Their role is different. Whatever is going on with them is theirs. I have to make sense of my own life and to share the best that I have with others and to move forward. God's work will be done. Whether I'm here or somebody else, it doesn't matter, you know, if we get done. So, happiness is very important. Really, really important.
Any inspiration or advice for our group?
Well, as I said, I'm going to take out membership because you seem to be the happiest wordy group that I've come across for a while. You know, and I guess, I mean, if you meet as a small group, it's you create a bond, you know, and all of you live in an ashram space. where people from all over the world come. So you have to preserve little, small intimacies in order to keep that bond alive, like a small family. There's so many come here, so much come. And I think to nurture that is a really, really lovely thing, you know. I always remember when I used to come here, regardless of what the daddies were doing, you'd see them at night, then they would all go and eat together, you know, spend time at the end of the day to share their own unique little world with each other is very, very important, because it keeps you grounded and it keeps you in touch with some of your own original inspirations and ideas. Yeah, and regardless of what all of us has to see or experience in the future, just, you know, keep focused, stay strong, and move forward.
Thanks a lot to Brother Nayal for accepting our invitation and sharing his wonderful experiences with us. Om Shanti.
Shanti.